The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Booger's comments before the, mm-hmm. the illustrious Taylor Hicks song about A&M hasn't really done anything, mm-hmm. right? A&M has come in. They've been in the league since 2011, 2012. Obviously have not won the West.
Yeah.
Did beat Alabama last year. Did get one number one recruiting class. But I think the difference is when you want to compete with the teams that A&M says they want to compete with, it's not just about one really good recruiting class. You have got to stack recruiting classes up. Go look at Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. Go look at the last 3 to 5 years of recruiting classes, and you know that's where you get not just depth, talented depth.
Yeah, but what's A&M supposed to do right now?
He's only been there three years.
This is what they have, right? It's funny, yes, to point out that A&M historically has been this 8-4 program, 7-5, and they want to be so much more, and they're so ambitious. But what are they supposed to do right now other than say, no, it's what we got. We got to win against Alabama, and we got a number one recruiting class. And the rest is confidence. What else are they supposed to have at this point, right? Talk it. Go ahead and talk it, all right? Because, one, they could talk about Alabama. Two, they could talk about the recruiting class. And three, the rest is just projecting forward, right? And that's all they have. And I think that's Jimbo Fisher's, like, I don't think he intentionally made that point, but all they have is the future, and that can actually be a boon for A&M. They don't have the legacy of, like, 20 or 30 years of greatness following them. I'm speaking directly to Nick Saban's successor here, right?
How's the price of oil these days?
Price of oil? According to my gas tank this afternoon, quite high. I think they're doing fine.
Connect the dots.
Yeah.
I'm a big city boy. I don't drive anymore. Let's take another call. Robert from Jacksonville.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. What I can't figure out in all this Nick Saban, Little Jimbo back and forth is why he goes and picks on Little Jimbo and Dion down at Jackson State, and he avoids the Doughboy in Athens. We know about the Doughboys recruiting for years. Coach Spurrier talked about it years ago. The Doughboy must have pictures is all I got to say. I can't figure out why Nick didn't attack the Doughboy. We know about their classes.
Thank you for your call, Robert, although I will state in the spirit of body positivity, Kirby, he's like me. He's got a big head. Big head and a fleshy face. Okay, that's just you got a big face and a big head. All right, I've seen that man lift. I've seen that man run. For a dude his age, with the amount of work that he's putting in, he's still in really good shape. So I will say, Doughboy, he's a bit unkind. Okay, that's your parlance, not mine.
A&M as a Big 12 school moving to the SEC. Trey has been on the line for quite a bit from Arkansas. Wants to talk about Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC. Trey, what's happening?
Yeah, I was just curious. I actually have two questions. I want to know, since the Big 12 is moving in Texas and Oklahoma's replacement, I was wanting to know if that means that Texas and Oklahoma would be moving in next year, since their replacements are coming in next year.
Trey, thank you for your call. Texas and Oklahoma is a funny thing to remember in this whole subplot, right?
Correct.
What do you think Texas and Oklahoma are doing right now, sitting here watching the world burn right now in this neighborhood that they're about to come into?
Well, to go back to to link these two calls, they're being quiet. This is a real good thing to be right now. Not talking is free. You can always just lay low, do your work, right? Set up your NIL collectives, recruit, quietly build what you're doing, okay? The other thing that those two schools are doing right now, and I believe they're scheduled to come in. We had a countdown for this last year on Thinking Out Loud, right?
Is it 2025?
July 1st, 2025. Yes, which is many, many seconds from now. But right now, what they can do with that lead-up time is they can build up to what they're going to need infrastructure-wise and recruiting-wise. Because
I think that's a good point, because I have had the opinion for a while that Texas and Oklahoma are going to cut bait with the Big 12 early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas and Oklahoma have to continue to say that they're staying in the Big 12 for legal reasons, obviously, because if anybody in the Big 12 catches a whiff that Texas and Oklahoma had a premeditated plot to leave the conference early and cash out early,
get litigious.
I imagine they would be sued until next never. So if I'm Texas and Oklahoma, yes, I continue to say, yes, I continue to play nice with the Big 12, and I continue to say that I am not joining the SEC until July 1st, 2025. But it does offer a very unique opportunity for them to build up infrastructure as far as NIL is concerned and, you know, learn how to do business the way we do it down in this part of the country before they join the league.
Yeah, and they're going to need that, right? I don't want to go ahead and pour them out, those two programs. They're both cutthroat.
No,
they're both
Texas.
It's Texas. Texas has go look it up. They've got the money. They have all the money they need to be successful.
And Oklahoma has, like, quite literally never been bad.
Yeah. No, like they've had little spells. They've had little fainting spells here and there. But on the whole, Oklahoma, they've been there, as bankable a brand as there has been in college football. It will be different. And by the way, one more thing. I really enjoy people who are like, well, it's going to be a big step up for Texas and Oklahoma. My answer is I don't know. I didn't know how this was going to work. And then Mizzou comes in and wins the SEC East. Like, sight unseen.
Twice. Put some respect on their name.
Twice. Right? And I thought A&M, hey, man, they're just, look, they got Manziel. We're going to 10-2. Here we go. It's going to be amazing. You know, this is all an on-ramp into, like, program greatness, and it hasn't happened that quickly, which is why we're talking about this in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Line six, Tony from Georgia.
Hey, man. This caller, a few callers ago, talking about Kirby Smart. Where did you dig up an idiot like that? Kirby spends hour after hour after hour on the road, and he said before he only goes after people that wants to be at Georgia. He hadn't offered it, and they'll tell you flat out he don't speak money, benefits, anything. He's gonna prepare you for the NFL. And another thing, this Jimbo made a lot of accusations. And the commissioner, instead of slapping both of them on the wrist, he should be looking into these. These are serious allegations to make. Y'all think that buying a team is okay now. The A&M fans say, oh, they're doing it. This is legal. No, it's not legal. It's not legal for Jimbo to coordinate this effort to get all these five stars when he hadn't done it before. You know, your mama needs to slap you if you believe that, and Jimbo too. Bye.
Tony, congratulations. Thanks. You got a laugh from the crew. Congratulations, yeah. Tony.
Good job, buddy.
Now, by the way, remember this. If Jimbo or any head coach was smart, remember, Jimbo should continue to maintain his plausible deniability from whatever under-the-table payments may or may not be happening at Texas A&M. Any head coach worth their salt will tell you, hear no evil, speak no evil.
Also, on the note of Georgia, yes, this is what Kirby talks about, preparing for the NFL. There's an interesting point here that people tend to forget when you talk about recruiting. If you go to Alabama and you're a starter at Alabama, you have like a 40 or 50% chance of getting drafted. That is still as big a draw as NIL, if not bigger.
Right. If you're a talented enough football player, you should go to Alabama because it is quite literally proven the best on-ramp for you to get to the NFL.
Yeah, that's just percentages. Like, go look it up. It is a shocking number in terms of if you're a starter there, you'll probably end up in the NFL. Like, flip a coin, you're right there. And that's what Kirby's trying to sell. Also on Georgia, I would point this out. Every time I drop my kids off at school, I'd look up and there was a billboard with Jordan Davis's face on it. Okay, so NIL opportunities are very real at Georgia as well.
Well, and I think as far as Georgia's concerned, of course, that is what Kirby Smart is not just trying to build. He's well on his way to building it. They just won the doggone national championship. But I think when you come out of Alabama's program, I think the NFL gives you somewhat benefit of the doubt, right? Benefit of the doubt that you've played on the biggest stage. Benefit of the doubt that you've been coached by somebody worth a lick.
Yeah.
Benefit of the doubt that you can take coaching and all that kind of thing. There's more than just you've won a ton of games if you went to Alabama.
Yeah, it might be a little different after this year. Just a hunch, just a feeling based on everybody from the Georgia team getting drafted who was draft eligible, right? Including N'Kobe Dean.
Right. It's well on its way to happening. It is well on its way to happen.
Yeah.
Albert from Alabama.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going good.
Hey. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to comment on a couple of callers you had. First, that idiot from Florida who wants to bash Kirby Smart and all that. And, I mean, Kirby Smart's a good coach. Now, back on the subject of what Saban said, he wasn't – I don't believe he was saying that Jimbo Fisher was – or the University of Texas A&M are paying students to come there and play. I think what he was saying is the NIL is ruining college football. When you start paying players, and that's where they're starting to look more into what be paid – before they get to the NFL, then you know you're gonna start running all kinds of accusations like this. I think some of this is just being blown way out of proportion.
Albert, thank you for your call. I prefer to go ahead and let the man speak for himself. I'll just read it verbatim what Saban has said, and what he has apologized for singling people out was this: A&M bought every player on their team. I can't move those words. Like, yeah. I can't read into that, you know? Like, yeah, sure, maybe Nick Saban thinks that this is ruining college football. But those are his words, and he's got to live with them.
Yeah, he did really – it was a targeted shot.
It's targeted, and it's very specific. And like, you can't budge that.
And that's the thing. We don't really get targeted shots like that. Part of that is why I think Nick may have stepped in it to a degree – but it's also part of why it's going to be blown out of proportion now. It's going to be blown out of proportion next week when they all show up in Destin. It's going to be blown out of proportion again in July in Atlanta. Talking season. We talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking. We're going to keep talking after the break with more calls from you. You get off work at 5. Kill the rest of the day, okay? Your boss isn't paying attention.
It's Monday.
It's Monday.
Come on.
Yeah, nobody gets work done on Monday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Man, those Aflac commercial shoots are going to be awkward.
Tense. Tense. Hopefully the duck can mediate. The duck.
The duck can get between the two.
Yeah, just sort of putting out his feathers, smoothing everything out.
We're going to go back to the phones. I feel like I might regret this. Justice from Portland, Oregon, you are live on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Oh, boy.
Speaking of ducks, was first of all, first time, long time. Was Kayvon Thibodeau right about Alabama? I mean, so I'm just going to go over this list of things that have happened since he's spoken these words. And I know there was a stigmatism about it, but it seems like he's right about it, right? Calvin Ridley's out of the league. Jerry Jeudy got in trouble for locking up some baby formula. John Allen had a very problematic hypothetical dinner guest answer. Julio Jones can't find work. And now Nick Saban's worried about his recruits going elsewhere. I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of slander in there. I'm just going to let that pass under the editorial guise of later. We'll deal with some of that later.
He's not still on the line, but if he was, I would ask Justice when Oregon's most recent national championship is.
He might do that.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have an answer for me.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does. In fact, I think in their lone opportunity to do that, they lost, or let's see, they've had two. They lost to Ohio State, who I believe is a Big Ten school.
Yes.
And then they lost to Auburn. That's an SEC school. They lost to that, yeah.
Yeah, and if you'll remember that Ohio State game, Ohio State just ran counter on them.
Yeah.
All night. Mm. And
Oregon, you can make adjustments. You can make adjustments to that, right? That's legal. You can actually...
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
But they did hire an SEC defensive coordinator, so maybe they'll be a little bit more physical. I think we'll find out in Atlanta week one when they play Georgia. Good luck.
Dan Lanning's about to find out. You got to get those big men on the West Coast. You need some big men out there.
Tom from Birmingham, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm on air. I'm Tom, Birmingham, Steinbaum's old stomping ground. I've lived here 32 years. I didn't grow up here. It's been great, primarily because college sports is king. And I love college sports, so it's great living in Birmingham, not too far from Tuscaloosa, where I went to law school. Now, I talked to your screener, who's doing a great job, and you guys, yeah, we welcome you. You know, Paul needs a break, and that's great. But, you know, I've been a long-time listener, Paul, and he's great, too, and I enjoy it. But what I told you, and you cut me off, it's like, you know, we've had several callers who have voiced that opinion. I have my opinions about this controversy between Saban and Fisher, and I'll just tell you my thoughts, and if they've already been said, you say, look, somebody's already said that, and then I'll move on to point two. Point two has to do with Miami and their future under Cristobal. I think after many mediocre years, they got the best, arguably, recruiter in the country. Of course, I'm an Alabama follower, but I'm taking up for Jimbo here, okay, and what the exchange in some ways and how this can be brought to an end. If you've already heard that, I'll just move on to Cristobal.
There's been a lot of Miami sniping on the show today. A lot of Miami
sniping. Oh, good. I told the guy who hates Alabama, JK, it's like, look, your future is bright, man. You got the best recruiter in the country. He's a good coach, but he recruits, you know, in 4 or 5 years, they'll be right up there near number one. Just be patient. You'll see improvement this season. It's just like Saban when he first came. You know, he didn't win, you know, all of his games. It took till 2010. Now, you know, it took him 3 years, 4 years, and he won the national championship January of 2011. And then, you know, they're preseason number one. They lost two games, which they should have lost, you know, against South Carolina. Give me a break. And they lost to Auburn that year. Cam Newton, Auburn. They had a 24-point lead. It was painful to watch.
I disagree. I thought that was quite entertaining. Hey, but Tom, we're up against it. All right. Appreciate you calling in. Tom, by the way, had like a real sort of dramatic voice.
Yeah,
I like that. Like a history,
slow build.
Like a history podcast, like a slow build. We've talked a lot about Miami, but Miami faces the challenges that I think a lot of people outside of like the SEC and the Big Ten face, which is getting big men and skilled players in the same place at the same time. Some teams get one, some teams get the other. If you can get guys along the line and a solid quarterback, which is the thing that Miami hasn't had. Like,
we'll see. Tyler Van Dyke.
I know.
Like
he's coming on. I like him, but, you know, we got to prove it.
Well, Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, who we had on earlier in the show, made this point. This, all these teams sort of making the most chatter about NIL right now are these programs that have been also RANs in the recent past, yet have a past that goes a little bit farther back that has quite a little bit of success in the 80s and the 90s. Tennessee, Miami, A&M, A&M a little bit further back in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
But they have at least some sort of success, and they are trying like all hell to get back to that. And in so doing, they are making the most noise on their way there, which is what I think is interesting about this whole subplot here.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take another call. Line four.
Line four, Raul from Boston.
Guys, what's going on?
How are you going, man?
First, I want to give a shout out to the Split Zone Duo Discord. Everyone's very excited over there following along. And I'm calling from the spiritual home of college football, Logan Airport. so This is my question, guys. I'm a Florida fan. Florida in September has three teams with high aspirations that are also ranked higher than them in SP Plus: Utah, Kentucky, and Tennessee. What kind of September should a Florida fan be psychologically preparing for in year one of Napier?
I think, Raul, thank you for the call. I think if you listen to what Billy Napier has signaled, kind of implicitly, a little bit explicitly, cool thy jets.
Mm-hmm. No, let's chill. We got a rebuild coming in. I know you want the hot tub, but we got to get the drywall up. All right. Yeah. So I think that September could be rough, but if we set the bar low enough, I mean, I don't think anybody expects Utah to be anything but utter hell for 60 minutes. That is a physical team. They are mean, and they have an established quarterback. That's something that Florida still has to break in with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I think Billy Napier is trying to set expectations. I'm not saying set expectations low. I'm just trying to say set sort of a timeline on when Florida's expectations may be able to be met. It is not going to happen next year. Mm-hmm. It's just not as far as where Florida fans want to go. And I know that may be frustrating for Florida fans to hear because it's been so long, but it's not. But we just sat here and talked about how A&M can sign one number one recruiting class and still have quite a ways to go. You just fired a guy in part because he struggled to recruit. Mm-hmm. There is infrastructure that needs to be built. I'm not talking about NIL. I'm talking about behind the scenes. Yeah. Billy Napier hiring a bunch of people. You got to make sure all the people that you're hiring, the systems that you're putting in place in your organization, you got to make sure those work before we even talk about what it looks like on the field.
Yep, because if you got to replace somebody, you want to do it sooner rather than later. It's one of the things that eventually caught up with Dan Mullen at Florida. Hey, that's a lot of Florida talk. We're going to do a little bit more because Voice of the Gators, just the third in the history of the program. Mick Hubert will be joining us after the break as he is signing off from his illustrious tenure as the voice of the Gators. Also, more calls after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
How many innings of baseball or softball, diamond sports, have you watched?
I watch a lot of softball, but I am limited to one inning of baseball a year, which I usually try to save up for when something dramatic or messy is happening.
Well, then you missed a lot. Well, maybe you didn't miss all of this.
College baseball, I've been paying attention because the Vols have been killing it.
Yes, the Tennessee players. As you see, there are two Tennessee players and one coach, Tony Vitello, coach of the year, on the SEC baseball awards list. Dylan Cruz takes home one of the co-player of the year honors from LSU. Sonny DeCara, first baseman from Auburn, takes home the other. Chase Dollander, pitcher of the year, and Drew Beam, freshman of the year. Ben Anderson of Georgia, Scholar Athlete of the Year. We can't overlook my guy hitting the books. Congratulations, Ben.
Yeah, by the way, if you haven't watched the Tennessee team, watch. That is a swaggy team. Serious swag, a lot of good sunglasses, a lot of good mullets. We need to talk about Mick Hubert.
Yeah, Mick Hubert, the legendary play-by-play announcer, the voice of the Florida Gators, hung it up over the weekend, and we have a montage of his final call.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest roller of the last 33 years is a 5'9 senior out of St. Ann, Illinois. Let me tell you something. 33 years, 2,607, get this, games, 6 national championships, and he's called natties for 3 different sports. The greatest broadcaster in the history of the University of Florida.
There's a line drive. Base hit right field. Evans being waved home. Here comes Eichner's throw to the plate and the tag, and he is
safe at home.
I don't know if it's going to play in Gainesville, but I can just be me. I'll be prepared and I'll be excited and I'll root for the Gators. And here we are, fast forward 33 years later. You know, it's been a wonderful career.
4-1 Carolina. I've enjoyed 33 years broadcasting Gator sports to you. I thank you so very much. I love you one and all. You've made my career. Thank you so much.
We welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show, Mick Hubert. 33 years as the voice of the Florida Gators. I grew up listening to him driving around at AM 850. Mick, it is an honor to have you on the show, and congratulations on retirement.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on. And it's just been crazy. I went into Scott Strickland's office last Monday, a week ago, and really was the weight of the world lifted off my shoulders, because I was pretty certain this was going to happen 9 or 10 months ago. And I enjoyed the football season last year, although it didn't go well for the Gators per se, and same with basketball. And, you know, I enjoyed doing those games because I kind of had a hunch it was the last go around. So I had a lot of fun doing it. But, you know, and when everybody else was retiring, you know, whether it be basketball coaches or other announcers, everybody always said, Mick, I hope you're not going anywhere. Hope you're not going anywhere. And all the while, in the last 9 or 10 months, I knew I was, but I couldn't say that. So that's why it was a real weight lifted off me on Monday. And I feel great about it. I know this is the time. Like I told Scott, I still feel I still have my fastball. I don't think I've lost that much or anything, really. But it's time to go. And that's why, six national championships and 2,500-plus broadcasts. I've given the best I've had to the Gators. And, you know, it's time to move on to something else now.
Mick, when you woke up this morning, what did you do today, first day of retirement?
I had a doctor's appointment, you know, that was scheduled. I did that. Then I went into the office and met with the HR people. And, you know, and I'll tell you this, too. I spent an hour and a half on hold trying to get a hold of Medicare people. There's some questions I had. Yeah, it was all of an hour and a half. So make sure you got a little extra time, because you got to call those people.
And then
you guys were calling. I just got off the phone about 5 minutes ago. I'm thinking, you know what? This call that I manned at 2:50 is going to run into 4:30. But we got it done in time. So that's been the day, you know. And tomorrow I've got to take the car in for some work. And that was scheduled, too. So everybody tells me, you know, when you're retired, you're staying plenty busy. I say, well, I you get that right. You got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, as you guys know, get put in the back burner. You know, you got to catch up and do things when you get a chance, because the job requires that. And so now I'll be able to catch up and do all these other things. And, you know, there's two camps of people I've run into: the camp of people who are close to retiring and, you know, close, 1, 2, 3 years away, and asking all the questions. And they're so happy for you because they're anticipating their own. And then there's the other camp of people who are retired and say, you know what, my only regret is I didn't do it sooner. So nobody has ever told me that, Mick, you're going to regret this in 3 or 4 years. Everybody has said, man, I wish I was you.
Mick, my question is, when did you know that you were in the fold? When did you know that you were a thing? Because, you know, you are only the third voice ever of the Florida Gators. Both primary announcers had really long careers at Florida. What was the moment where you said, oh, yeah, this is my spot, this is my place?
Well, it was really a job that I – the kind of job that I always wanted. I got out of school at Illinois State and got a job in Peoria, Illinois, which is really a place that's turned out a lot of great sportscasters over the years, a smaller market. I did Bradley basketball for years and got a job in WHIO TV and radio in Dayton and did the Flyers for 10 years and had a very good job. It was a good job. But I always wanted to do more play-by-play, wanted to work for a team. And so I was talked into it by a guy I'd worked with in Peoria. I was now working with him again at another station in Dayton. And he told me, you got to apply. I said, there's no way they're going to hire me. I have no ties to them at all. I didn't go to school there. All the excuses in the world. He says, send a tape. So I sent a tape. There were 150 of them. And they hired me. And so it was a job I always wanted. And when I got here, you know, the first year I was here in the fall of 89, you know, we fired Galen Hall. And we fired Norm Sloan. We were coming off 150 NCAA rules violations. It was a dark period in Florida history. But, you know, in a few months after I got here, Steve Spurrier was hired, Lon Kruger was hired, and boom, the decade of the 90s, the Gators started winning basketball, football, Final Fours, national championships. I didn't think that that first decade would ever be duplicated. In the second decade, in the year we turned the calendar to the year 2000, the next 10 years were even better because we win back-to-back basketball titles. We win two more football titles. I see a Heisman Trophy winner again. And so it's just been great. I just knew right away. And you know, the story is, you know, I worked here 4 years, and, you know, I like to tell the joke that nobody knew who I was. You know, it was Mark Hubert, Mitch Hubert, and, you know, every name in the mm-hmm. book. And then all of a sudden in 1993, the Gators throw 7 picks in a game they're going to beat at Kentucky, and we rally to beat them. And Doering's got a touchdown, and Keith Jackson picked up on the call. It was a call that really went viral before the word or the term viral ever came along. And all of a sudden I got on the map, and in year 5, oh, yeah, Mick Hubert, he's the voice of the Gators. Well, it was my 5th year there, and I'd hoped to be here a long, long time. So it went just according to plan. I didn't know how long it would be. But I tell people this, too, that 5 years ago, I thought I'd work till probably 80 or more. I thought I'd be, you know, in the Larry Munson fold or the Jack Crystal fold, all those guys. But, you know, I had a change of heart. And as I said before, only God can change your heart. And so I'm just being obedient to the Spirit, which is I know that it's time to move on. I haven't lost my talent, but the grace to do this is being lifted away from me. And so we're excited about the next phase of our life.
Mick, when you run around town, you know, my favorite call of yours is 2006, Florida, South Carolina, Jarvis Moss blocks that field goal at the end, and you say it's been blocked again, and you go crazy. But when you're running around town and you know, going to Publix or what have you, what are some of the calls that people may sort of, you know, yell out to you or whatever in the parking lot or something like that?
Well, I get some of those calls. I get some of that, and Doring's got a touchdown, and it's, you know, it's been blocked again. I think it was the 3rd block kick we had in that game. So we've already had 2. And when you go back and listen to the call, I do the very setup to it. You can hear not a somber tone in my voice, but a realistic tone that, hey, if he kicks this field goal and it's 48 yards, it's not out of his range. If he kicks it, it's probably going to be good and we're going to get beat. But the kick never got away. I mean, it was blocked. And so that's why he blocked it again, you know. And so I've had that one, and I had the one that Quezzy Green against FSU, where he got behind the defense and hauled in a long pass. And then they'll throw the one at me when I said that was the game where I called the place an insane asylum in the swamp. And then the one in the Georgia Dome where I said they're blowing the roof off this place, the shootout we had when we beat Alabama in the – I think it was a 96 national championship game. So there's a few of those. But it's interesting you mentioned Publix, because I was in Publix the day before the story was coming public. This was just last week. And a guy said to me, Mick, I hope you never go. I hope you're not going anywhere. And in the very next day, Scott Carter had already written the story. It just hadn't been released on the website yet. And I looked at him as I got in my car, and I said, you know what? It's imminent. I got in the car and drove away. And he probably thought, it's imminent? Yeah, it was imminent. It was within 24 hours it was announced. So it's funny, and that happened to be right in Publix when he mentioned that to me. But I felt like I was living a lie a little bit for the last several months when everybody was retiring, and I knew that mine was forthcoming too.
Mick, I know that this is a Florida call because we did have a Publix shout out. Richard, Richard, you got one more?
Yeah, Mick, you know, forever you kind of kept a low profile. You know, there was no talk radio show in town that you hosted or anything like that. It was just sort of the games, and you know, you lived a sort of normal life as one can do, being something of a local celebrity. Was that by design? Did you like the low profile?
Yes, I did. I really did. You know, for example, when some of these coaches retire, you know, Roy Williams retired. He retired. It was abrupt. Lon Kruger a year ago retired. It was abrupt. Coach Krzyzewski announced he was going to go through a tour. I'm thinking, there is no way I'm ever going to do that. 9 months, 8 months, countdown, 7 months, 6 months, 6 weeks, 5 weeks. I mean, this last week's felt like it's been a year. I don't know how you could do it. And, you know, the great sports writer that worked for the St. Pete Times for many years, Hubert Mizell, when he came to Gainesville, he called me and he said, Mick, he said, let's get together and do a talk show. You and I had to be Hubert and Hubert. You know, it's kind of like Mike and Mike, Hubert and Hubert. I said, Hubert, there is absolutely no way I'm going to talk sports for 2 hours every day. I talk enough. I'm doing almost 100 games a year. I don't have no desire to be a talk show host, none whatsoever. And then, of course, I'm not on social media. I don't tweet. I don't do any of that. I don't do any of that stuff. So I just wanted to keep it a low profile. One day last week, somebody said to me, Mick, right now you're number four on Twitter. I said, what? You're trending number four. I said, is that the United States? He goes, no, it's in the world. I said, well, I can guarantee you there are about 600 million Chinese people over there that could care less about an announcer in Florida retiring. But I was number four in the world on trending on Twitter. So the next day I go back to him and I said, what am I today? He goes, you're nothing. you're not trending at all.
Mick, before I let you get out and get on to the road to retirement, what is the weirdest place you've ever had someone ask you for an oh my? I know you got one.
Well, to me, anytime I'm not in the press box and someone asks me, it's a little weird because I know that I'll probably disappoint them because I can't do it on cue. I mean, this is what happened to me, guys. When I knew that I was destined to do this and given this grace to do this and anointed to do this, when I put the headset on, my personality changes. My wife would never put up with me being Mick Hubert at home like he is on the air because he's a different guy. So I never got into this for the recognition. I just love the craft. I love the study, the preparation. I love to go on the air. It's the only thing I know how to do from the time I was 7 or 8 years old. I don't have a lot of other skills. So I was able to do this and make a 46-year broadcasting career out of it. And I feel like I've never worked really a day in my life, although the travel gets to you. It's the travel. You know, if I could say beam me up, Scotty, I'd do a lot more games. But getting from point A to point B, I just got tired of doing all that.
Mick Hubert calling it a career. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the beach. Enjoy Sarasota. And we wish you many happy returns in retirement, Mick.
We will definitely do that. Thank you for having me on. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it,
Thank
Mick.
You, Mick.
We will be back with more of the Paul Feinbaum Show after the break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I'm not going to lie, Spencer. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool to have Mick Hubert on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Yes, sir.
On his first day of retirement. Real quick time for a couple calls. Mm-hmm. Ms. Pat heard Mick's call and called us.
Hey,
to talk about
yes. Anybody that's a true Auburn fan will remember 2006 when Auburn beat Florida and Florida went on to win the national championship. But we were invited to a friend's home that night. Was a Florida fan. Every time Auburn would do something, one of my friends would go by and mash my little tiger's hand that played the fight song. And, oh, it was wonderful. Anyway. That's just what I wanted to say. I can play him for you right now, and then I'll hang up. You hear him?
Thank you for that PTSD. Okay. I really appreciate that.
Okay, bye.
That's good.
Thank you, Miss Pat.
Yeah, my whole day's ruined.
What I dearly, dearly love about this show, that nice, kind woman, yeah. from Georgia, listened to that entire segment of Mick Hubert and called to talk about Auburn.
Play fake this, right? run. Nope, 2006. Over the top.
Yeah. We appreciate it, Ms. Pat. We really do. Favorite Mick Hubert memory?
My favorite one is definitely, I think, the blocked kick. Blocked is in 06 against South Carolina. Jarvis Moss blocking that kick. Absolutely huge. As tough a game as I've ever seen in the Swamp and as tense a game as I have ever seen there. And Mick called it perfectly.
Under the radar, 2018 or 2019, Florida at LSU. When Darius Geis, unfortunately, runs the wrong way there and Florida wins the game and Mick loses it on the air. I really thought my man was going to fall out there.
Yeah, why can't you just act like that in the produce department at Publix, Mick? Get that excited when I ask you to say, oh, my.
Where are you retiring to? Because Mick's going to the beach. Where are you retiring to?
Mountains. Beach is overrated. I'll stand on that. You can go ahead and call in. Yell at me
about
that.
He's from Florida, by the way. Spencer is originally from Florida. The beach is overrated. This is your hot take.
That is my hot take. Beach is overrated. It goes in this order. It goes lake, right? Pool, beach.
You're taking pool over beach.
I'm taking pool over beach.
The chlorine over the salt water.
Correct.
Where do we rank river in that pantheon there?
River? I don't know what's in it. It's too risky. I'm going to put that just above beach.
So we're lumping in river and we're lumping in beach as things that, that flowing animals, et cetera, et cetera.
There's not going to be a shark in a river, most likely. It's pretty rare.
I do like the lake for just the chill factor, contained body of water. You don't have to worry about anything coming in. Eh.
Yeah, I don't know. What about you? Where would you retire?
I do like a lake house. I do like a lake house. Just stick me on a golf course, man. I'm a simple man with simple needs. Stick me on a golf course. Stick me close to a golf course. I'm not retiring back down south, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe I was going to say, what state you got?
San Diego.
That's San Diego?
It. San Diego. I went to San Diego last year, and I am as shamelessly in the tank.
San Diego's not a state.
I am as shamelessly in the tank for San Diego, California,
okay,
as I think anybody could possibly be, especially somebody from the East Coast like I am, and I currently live in New York City. I would go to San Diego. I would go to San Diego tonight after we finish this show if someone would fly me out there.
Yeah, Montana, baby. Montana, all day.
You're going off the grid. I'm going beach adjacent.
You seen this beard? I'm retiring to Montana.
You fit right in with the hill people.